Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WKMZ-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now your host, author, pastor, and teacher, Doug Joseph.
Welcome. In just a few moments, we're going to play for you the conclusion of our two-part series titled Lessons from Jordan's Crossing. But first, I think we have time today for a couple of songs. We have some great music for you from our friends Phillips, Craig, and Dean. This is the title track from their project named Restoration.
Looking at this falling race, standing in the light of grace, we can't see the shadow of the past. Building our security, truth lost its identity, but there's still time for us to get it back. If we sing hey now, hey now, 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 and take some time for self-examination. Say hey now, hey now, 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 we need to be baptized in salvation. If we sing hey the truth just fades away. It's time to put our faith to test. Let our souls be undressed. Show the world we mean what we say. When we sing a hey.
And this is the fourth track from the Restoration Project, and the name of it is When God Ran.
Omnipotent, powerful, awesome Lord.
victorious warrior, commanding King of Kings, mighty conqueror, and the only time, the only time I ever saw him run was when he ran to me. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, "My son's come home again," lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes with forgiveness in his voice. He said, "Son, do you know I still love you?" He caught me by surprise when God ran. The day I left home, I knew I'd broken his heart. I wondered then if things could ever be the same. Then one night I remembered his love for me. And down a dusty road ahead I could see it was the only time. It was the only time I ever saw him run. Held my head to his chest, said, "My son's come home again," lifting my face, wiped the tears from my eyes with forgiveness in his voice. He said, "Son, do you know I still love you?" He caught me by surprise and he brought me to my knees. God ran. I saw him run to me. I was so ashamed, all alone and so far away. But now I know.
Now, the conclusion to our two-part series titled Lessons from Jordan's Crossing.
It wasn't a true God, it was a demon. And they worshiped in a religious system that had them to sin sexually and then had them to take their own children and burn them alive in fire. Child sacrifice. If you want to anger God, if you want to rile up God in His wrath, just bring harm on children. I preach to America that if we don't repent for murdering hundreds and hundreds of thousands of innocent babies in the womb for abortion, we are going to have the wrath of God abide on of this nation. And we don't need to have God turn against us. It's why I preach to my church over and over again. We used to say, God bless America. My cry now is, God save America. God save America. These people that were living in Canaan's land were so wicked. And God knew the future. He knew that when he mixed his people with the world's people in that situation, in that scenario, his people would not get them to abandon their false religion, but rather, in fact, the other would take place. Remember the scripture that says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. If you look at it in other translations, it says, don't be fooled. Hanging out with bad influences, with bad company, can ruin your morals. I want to say thank you to our elders and to our student ministry leadership for preaching to our young people that there are influences in this world you've got to cut yourself off from if you're going to live for God and make it through in the end. It still matters that you've got to live holy. And the words of that song they just played, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. There are influences that can poison your spirit and damage your heart and destroy your mind. And so God pronounced a death sentence on them. God knew that not only would they not repent, but he knew that their children's children would not repent. The Lord weighed out every scenario, looked at every possibility for trying to have compassion, and finally realized that in the end, what was best for the most number of souls to be saved was to pronounce a death sentence on them. I want to tell you, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And so the Lord's people, there were instances when they were swallowed up in doubt. The spies were sent out and 10 of them came back bringing a report of doubt. If you look at your Bible closely, you'll find out that their report of doubt was called an evil report. The Bible classifies doubt as evil. Amen. The Israelites crossed over Jordan and they entered into their journey of conquest. And so here we are. Our new birth is not the final destination, it's the beginning of our journey. And crossing over the River Jordan was not the final destination for God's people. It was the beginning of their time of conquest. But let me hasten to this strange spelling of Jordan. You'll notice that there to the left of this spelling of Jordan is the photograph of a man. In 1864, after 32 long years of service to his slave master, Jordan Anderson and his wife, Amanda, escaped a life of slavery. When the Union Army soldiers freed them from the plantation on which they had been working so tirelessly. As was common in those days, the slave had no lineage, had no family history, had no family name. What a terrible thing that American slave owners did to the slaves. To separate children from fathers and mothers and manipulate their lives in such a way as they had no family continuity. And so it is that the last name of his master, Anderson, became his last name, Jordan Anderson. They escaped. They grasped with vigor their opportunity for freedom. They quickly moved to Ohio where Jordan could find paid work with which to support his growing family, and they never looked back. You remember what I said about pivoting? You have to reach a point in your life where you decide, I'm fed up with being a victim. I'm fed up with letting the past continually damage who I'm supposed to be. I've got to turn my back. I've got to pivot. I've got to turn away from the problems of the past and look to the future. I want to pause at this point, talk just a moment about the Palestinians and the Jews in Israel. Everybody talks about the Palestinian refugee problem. Folks, do you realize that was 1948? 1948? Why are we still talking about a Palestinian refugee problem? I'll tell you why. There's only one reason why. They are determined to live as victims for the rest of their lives. It's worse than that. Not only are they determined to live as victims for the rest of their lives, they are determined that their children and their children's children are going to live as victims. The Arab Palestinians that view themselves as victims, displaced from their homes, refugees, they are the only people that has an entire agency of the United Nations devoted to trying to succor them with money. And much of that money comes to the United States. And that money is awarded not only to the original refugees, but that UN agency considers their children refugees and considers their grandchildren refugees and their great... Folks, do you realize that they are determined to be victims in perpetuity? Did you know that in 1948, when all those Arab nations attacked the nascent new fledgling Jewish state of Israel, when all those Arab armies attacked in that battle, that war for their independence in 1948, did you know that Arab nations all across Africa and up into the Middle East expelled nearly every Jew from their lands? Did you know there were 850,000 Jewish refugees? Some of them went to the United States. Many of them went to the new nation of Israel. Do you know why today you never hear any of them talk about, I'm a refugee and I'm a victim and where's my money and when am I going to be allowed to go back to my house and in wherever? It's because they have pivoted. They have turned from the past and they are looking toward the future and they are determined, I will not live as a victim for the rest of my life. This is what Jordan Anderson and his family did. They pivoted. They turned toward the future. 1 year later, shortly after the end of the Civil War, Jordan Anderson received a desperate letter from his former owner, Patrick Henry Anderson, in which his former slave owner asked him to return to the plantation to rescue his failing business. Jordan's reply to the person who enslaved his family was dictated from his home on August 7th. It's everything anybody could hope for. It's considered to be a masterpiece of satire. And it was quite rightly reprinted subsequently in numerous newspapers. Here is a photograph with Jordan Anderson on the left, and on the right is an actual print from a newspaper that republished his letter to his old master. We don't have a photograph of Jordan Anderson and his wife and family. And so in one instance in which this letter was published, the author published a photograph of some escaped slaves that had come from Virginia in 1862. And so if you'll show that photo, the third photograph, if you can just imagine, and this is not the actual family, but if you can just imagine, the patriarch and matriarch are Jordan Anderson and his wife, and they had 11 children. And then there would have been grandchildren. Jordan Anderson never returned to the home of his slavery, Big Spring, Tennessee. He passed away in 1907 at the age of 81. And he's buried alongside his wife, who followed him in death 6 years later. But I want to read to you key excerpts from his letter. August 7, 1865. To my old master, Colonel P.H. Anderson, Big Spring, Tennessee. Sir, I got your letter. I was glad to find that you had not forgotten Jordan and that you wanted me to come back and live with you again, promising to do better for me than anybody else can. I've often felt uneasy about you. I thought the Yankees would have hung you long before this for harboring rebels they found in your house. I suppose they never heard about your going to Colonel Martin's to kill the Union soldier that was left by his company in their stable. Although you shot at me twice before I left you, I did not want to hear of your being hurt, and I'm glad you're still living. It would do me good to go back to the dear old home again and see Miss Mary and Miss Martha and Alan and Esther, Green and Lee. Give my love to them all and tell them I hope we will meet in the better world, if not in this. I would have gone back to see you all when I was working in the Nashville hospital, but one of the neighbors told me that Henry intended to shoot me if ever he got a chance. I want to know particularly what the good chance is you propose to give me. I'm doing tolerably well here. I get $25 a month with victuals and clothing, have a comfortable home for Mandy, that's his wife. The folks call her Mrs. Anderson. And the children, Millie, Jane, and Grundy, they didn't have the full number yet. The children, Millie, Jane, and Grundy, go to school and are learning well. The teacher says Grundy has a head for a preacher. They go to Sunday school, and Mandy and me attend church regularly. We are kindly treated. Now, if you will write and say what wages you will give me, I will be better able to decide whether it would be to my advantage to move back again. As to my freedom, which you say I can have, there is nothing to be gained on that score, as I got my free papers in 1864 from the Provost Marshal General of the Department of Nashville. Mandy says she would be afraid to go back without some proof that you were disposed to treat us justly and kindly. As we have concluded to test your sincerity by asking you to send us our wages for the time we served you. This will make us forget and forgive old scores and rely on your justice and friendship in the future. I served you faithfully 32 years and Mandy 20 years. At $25 a month for me and $2 a week for Mandy, our earnings would amount to $11,680. Add to this the interest for the time our wages have been kept back, and deduct what you paid for our clothing and three doctor's visits for me and pulling a tooth for Mandy, and the balance will show what we are in justice entitled to. Please send the money by Adams Express in care of V. Winters, Esquire, Dayton, Ohio. If you fail to pay us for our faithful labors in the past, we can have little faith in your promises in the future. We trust the good Maker has opened your eyes to the wrongs which you and your fathers have done to me and my fathers in making us toil for you for generations without recompense. Here I draw my wages every Saturday night, but in Tennessee there was never any payday for the Negroes any more than for the horses and the cows. And here he quotes the Bible. He cites the Bible. Surely there will be a day of reckoning for those who defraud the laborer of his hire. In answering this letter, please state if there would be any safety for Millie and Jane. You know how it was with poor Matilda and Catherine. I would rather stay here and starve and die if it come to that than have my girls brought to shame by the violence and wickedness of their young masters. You will also please state if there has been any schools opened for the colored children in your neighborhood. The great desire of my life now is to give my children an education and have them form virtuous habits. I love his closing. Say howdy to George Carter. And thank him for taking the pistol from you when you were shooting at me. From your old servant, Jordan Anderson. And now you know why the spelling is as it is. I want to ask you, what kind of lessons can we learn from Jordan's crossing into freedom? I want to tell you the first lesson is, if you've been set free, don't even think about going back. There's people scattered throughout this room that remember they used to live in fear of their lives. They used to be plagued by the alcohol. They used to be plagued by the drugs. They used to be plagued by detrimental addictions. But the Lord Jesus set them free. And now they dance and shout. And they don't ever want to think about going back. The second lesson is, if you're not free yet, for heaven's sake, get out from under that mess and let the Lord set you free. You say, I just can't. I don't know how. I know you can't. The good news is you don't have to, because the Lord Jesus will set you free by the virtue of his blood shed for you on the cross and by the power of his Spirit and the authority of name. And the third lesson that we can learn is for you to pivot and move toward the future. Don't live your life dwelling on the scars from your past. History tells us that from where Jordan Anderson had been whipped, that his back was covered with scars. And can I tell you, there was probably never a day that he didn't suffer pain. Every time he had to bend to reach for something or even try to sit in a chair or stand up or get out of bed, he probably felt the tightness from those scars. But there was something about him. He just was so enjoying freedom that he was determined he wasn't going to dwell on the scars and dwell on the past and remain in a victim mentality. Amen. There's nothing sadder than seeing someone who's supposed to have been set free still living as a slave to what happened in the past. Oh, folks, I'm preaching right now. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but it would shock you right now if you could sit on the Lord's throne and see into the hearts of men. And if you could know the history of all like the Lord knows, it would shock you to know how many people in this place right now have actually suffered being abused. Physical abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, all manner of abuse. And it tends to have a binding effect on the psyche of a person. It's very damaging. It scars us. I have some very good news for you. If you will give all of that to Jesus, He can give you a healing in a way that will allow you to get out from under the shadow of your past and not have to live in a victim mentality. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. We ought to just stand and give the Lord praise for His healing power. Sister Morris stepped up for prayer a few minutes ago and she said, Jesus said, there's healing in the house. You see Sister Janice running around this place right now. My Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost. Somebody ought to give God praise for healing right now. There's healing in the house. There's healing in the house. I want to appeal to you. There's a scripture where the Lord God Almighty says, come, let us reason together. I want to reason with you tonight. If you are still bound under a detrimental addiction, there is freedom in this house tonight. You need to learn a lesson from Jordan Anderson. There is victory. There is healing. You say, Pastor Joseph, how does it happen? I'm going to tell you this. It includes repentance. That's the moment where you pivot and turn. And then when you do that pivot and turn, it includes a glorious thing called water baptism in the name of your new King. And receiving the Spirit of your new King into your heart through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want to ask all of our elders to come and line up right across the front, facing toward the congregation. I want to tell you tonight, there is victory here. There's an outpouring of the Holy Ghost here. There's victory over sickness here. There's victory over emotional scarring here. I want to encourage you right now, step out in faith and step forward. Hallelujah. In anticipation, as Elder Kyron said, that God is going to work a miracle for your deliverance and for your help tonight. Hallelujah. Get somebody by the hand right now. Say, come on. Let's go down to that altar. Let's get healing. Let's get victory. Hallelujah. Let's get freedom. There's healing in the house tonight. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WKMZ-FM.